Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. Then David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, be not dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. In the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior and the Lord of the church, dearly beloved, especially you, soon to be sent out into the gospel ministry. Well, the day has finally arrived. When you came back from vicarage, I'm sure that you were very anxious to get on with it. And many of the days of this academic year may have seemed to drag. But the years went by pretty quickly, didn't they? Indeed, I'm sure that your thoughts today go back far beyond September of 1982, when most of you stepped on this campus for the first time as students. You remember all of those who encouraged you along the way to the ministry. You're thankful for parents, wives, and sweethearts who've supported you with their prayers and gifts, been willing to make the sacrifices that enable both you and they to be here together today. And above all, you thank God that you're today receiving a theological diploma which says that you are qualified for the ministry of word and sacrament is ultimately the Lord's doing, marvelous in our eyes. The text that we've selected is one that is perhaps at first sight better suited to a congregational building program, because David is talking to his son Solomon and encouraging him to the work of the building of the temple. And yet you know that so often the church, which is the whole number of believers, is compared in Scripture to a building. It is God's spiritual temple. It is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It has Jesus Christ as its chief cornerstone. It is God's dwelling place in the Spirit. And all of us are living stones in that temple. More than that, you are called upon as pastors of the church to build upon that cornerstone and foundation, to lead people in the power of God's Spirit to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and Redeemer and thus to find everlasting life. So let us look at the words of the text. What David says to Solomon, God says to all of you today. Three words of God about your work of building the church. Be strong, be of good courage, and do it. And may the Spirit of God bless both speaking and hearing. Be strong. David, you know, wanted to build that temple, but the Lord had told him that because he was a man of war and had shed blood, that the task would be given to his son Solomon. David wanted to be sure that Solomon would follow through on that task. And so his first word is, be strong. There were things that might distract young Solomon from the task. Wouldn't it be easy to forget about a building program if you had an ivory throne, the likes of which was nowhere to be found in all the world, if there were thousands and thousands of horses in the royal stable, millions and millions of dollars coming into the treasury from conquered nations, silver like stones and cedars like sycamores in the capital city? And more than that, there was so much to learn. The young Solomon had to become acquainted with and rule a realm that stretched out all the way from the borders of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Be strong. So God also says to you, do not be distracted by other things. Remember that to which you have been called. You have been called to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, to feed the church of God which He has purchased with His own blood, to plead with people in Jesus' name to be reconciled to God. Or in line with the thought of the text, you are to say to people in terms of their spiritual house that there is no other foundation save Jesus Christ, that has been laid. And you dare not be distracted to wait on tables, to major in minors, to be careful and troubled about many things except the one thing needful, to engage in all kinds of heiliges bim-bam that will keep you from the service of the kingdom of God. Granted, you probably will not be tempted by any ivory throne, by peacocks and exotic delicacies served by servants at your table. But distractions there will be, and God says, be strong. Be strong. That means not to be ashamed also of your faith or of the confession of the church. There are going to be those who will scoff at the distinctive claims of Christianity that there is salvation in no other than the name of Jesus Christ. There are those who will ridicule your stance on Scripture as the inspired and inerrant Word of God. There will be those who will criticize you for trying to institute evangelical but firm discipline. There will be those who will tell you that our church body's position on fellowship and close communion is a nice thing to have on the books, but it really is not going to work in your situation because your ministry is different. You may have experienced peer pressure here, but you have not yet begun to see all the bag of tricks that the devil has up his sleeve to keep you from the task of building the church. Be strong. And the second word is like unto it, be of good courage. This was quite a project, building a dwelling place for the Most High God. It wasn't one of those, well, we'll break ground in August and we'll dedicate in January type of projects. It took 7.5 years. And David was afraid that Solomon might become discouraged in that. But there were a couple things that would keep him from letting his courage and his enthusiasm wane. One was the fact that God had, through David, given him such marvelous provisions in terms of material and personnel. Already in chapter 22, David talks about that, and he says, with great pains I've provided for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver, bronze and iron beyond weighing, for there is so much of it, timber and stone I have provided. You have an abundance of workmen, stone cutters, masons, carpenters, all kinds of craftsmen without number, skilled in working gold, silver, bronze, and iron. Recall that David also provided onyx, marble, precious stones. He gave him blueprints for candlesticks and lamps and basins and bowls. And in the next chapter, we're told of how the people chipped in and gave so liberally and so gladly for the service of the temple of God. And you also are to be reminded of what God has given to you, lest you become discouraged. You may be facing this first call with considerable fear and trepidation. Sure, you've received a good education, but how will you fulfill that ministry? As David called Solomon young and tender, so you are also young and tender for the work. And now it's all going to come upon you at one time. The sermon every week, all the visits, all the counseling, all the emergencies, all the things to be done. Then think of what God in mercy has provided for the building of his church. Treasures far greater than gold and silver and all the riches of Solomon's day. God has given to you his blessed word. Think of the pains to which God went, as it were, to make us wise unto salvation. The Spirit of God seeing to it not only that the prophets, apostles, and evangelists wrote, but giving them the very words that he wanted them to write and us to know and to believe for our salvation. Think of what that means for your ministry. That you can speak to people with certainty and conviction, not in man's wisdom and earthly wisdom. Think of what this means, that you can point them to the text of Scripture and say, this is God speaking to you. That you can point them to that precious book divine, utterly truthful and reliable, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Yes, and in that word, the gospel, treasures of the gospel, placed, as we heard, into the clay pots that are you and I, and yet treasures nevertheless. And how can we compare even all the riches of the world with this message that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That gospel lifts your ministry far above any ivory throne. That gospel creates faith and brings new life to infants in holy baptism. That gospel you take hold of and can tell the young who have wandered and strayed and seek God's pardon, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That gospel is brought to the aged as you lay before them the mansions that the Lord of glory has bought for them and which even now he prepares for them. The gospel, as we know it from the scriptures, is all that God has given to you. But why would we want more? What more could we have than this word of God, which assures us that for Jesus' sake we are saints and holy people and are heirs of life everlasting in heaven? Be of good courage. Solomon could be of good courage also because he had the promise that God would be with him. Fear not, be not dismayed. The Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. A lot of work to be done. Tens of thousands of people up in Lebanon chopping down trees. A lot of noise of axes and chisels. Finally, it was done. And how can we describe the beauty of that temple that caused the heart of every true Israelite to skip a beat as he approached the holy city? Gold everywhere. Trumpets, cymbals, choirs at the dedication. 2 weeks of feasting and celebration. The Shekinah, the glory of the Lord, so filling the house that the priest could not minister in the service of the Lord God. Be of good courage. God will not fail you or forsake you, but will enable you to finish your course with joy in the ministry that you have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Will there be disappointments? Of course. The love of many will wax cold. False teachers will arise and deceive many. Some will deny the Lord who bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Not everybody's going to join your Bible class, get on your evangelism team, love the pastor. And with all the joy that God gives, there are going to be many sorrows and even heartaches. And yet, as Moses, almost in identical words, spoke to the people of Israel as he bade them farewell upon their entry into Canaan, so God also assures you today he will not fail you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Souls will be saved through you. Sinners will be converted. Hearts will be strengthened. Young people sanctified. Old people comforted. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, is it not so? His word will not return void, but it will accomplish what he pleases, and it will prosper in the thing whereto he sends it. Also for you. Be strong. Be of good courage. And the third word is, do it. And this may be one of the shortest sermon parts in homiletical history, but what else is there left to say? Go do it. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, amen. Special thanksgiving of this congregation of worshipers flows heavenward for God's giving to the church, a group of men who are about to enter the holy ministry as pastors, missionaries, teachers of the church. May our Heavenly Father give us sincere and reverent hearts as we present them their theological diplomas and diplomas of vocation. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has instituted the holy ministry and has promised at all times to provide men who are equipped and sufficient for the tasks it entails. He himself must make them sufficient. This he does through the spiritual, intellectual, and physical gifts with which he endows them, and through the development of these gifts by the nurture of God's word. Jesus himself taught his disciples. St. Paul faithfully instructed Timothy and other servants for their office, as reflected in his saying to Timothy, "Follow the pattern of the sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And again, what you have heard from me before many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." The faculty of Concordia Seminary has been commissioned by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to conduct such instruction for the office of the Holy Ministry in the Synod.
Will the fall 85 and spring 86 candidates please rise? Reverend President, I present the members of the graduating class of 1986 together with graduates of previous years who joined them in becoming active candidates for the Holy Ministry. The faculty has declared that these men in every respect are qualified for the office of the Ministry of Word and Sacrament in the Church. I also present the colloquy candidates of previous quarters whose names appear in the program, whom the Colloquy Committee for the Pastoral Office has endorsed as qualified in all respects for the office of the Ministry of Word and Sacrament in his Church. Through the Council of Presidents, acting as the Board of Assignments for the Synod, with the assistance of the Placement Committee of the faculty, men of this year's graduating class, deferred candidates from previous classes, and colloquy candidates have been assigned to calls in parishes, missions, and educational institutions of the Church.
With the entire Church, we rejoice in their entrance upon the Holy Ministry. As these candidates for the Holy Ministry come forward, I authorize you to deliver to them the instruments attesting to their fitness and to their calls.
Master of Divinity candidates for the Holy Ministry, fall quarter 1985. Robert Paul Denauden. Bradley Duane Roberts. Master of Divinity candidates for the Holy Ministry, spring quarter 1986, Charles William Adams. Mark Asher Anderson. Aaron Joel Osmus. Daryl Keith Atkinson. Daniel Charles Barbie. Perry Vincent Barner. Paul Frederick Becker. Victor Jerome Belton. Martin Ernst Bergstrom. Ricky Dale Bertels. Michael Ray Bingenheimer. John Albert Bjorgaard. Mark Andrew Brighton. Richard Paul Bringawatt. Gordon William Bynum. Frank Joseph Canelio. Stephen Amaker Eaton. Donald Eugene Erickson. Christian John Erickson. Patrick Theron Erickson. Douglas Keith Eskew. Gary James Faith. Mark David Friedrich. Frank Michael Gallagher. James Joseph Glaspie. Denison James Goff. Larry Lynn Gottfriedson. Stephen Mark Greppner. George Otis Hamilton. Stanley Lewis Harding. Dwayne Andrew Hartfield. Stephen James Hayden. Mark Edward Hine. William Charles Heine. Bruce Herman Lobbs. Marion Lars Hendrickson. Craig Wayne Henningfield. Paul Marion Hoker. David Kevin Horn. Patrick Jow. Rodney Elroy Ketcher. Daryl Kenneth Coyce. Thomas Richard Kahns. Kenneth Edwin Krause. James Lee Kronblad. Ronald Keith Keener. Ralph E. Laufer. Robert Reed Lessing, Jr. Dennis James Liebig. Joseph Paul LaDuca, Jr. Richard Stephen Lofgren. Thomas Richard Marsis, Jr. James Lewis Marcus. David Robert McLean. Greg Gregory Allen Meck. Paul Mark Mayle. Ronald Charles Moore. Craig Lee Molitoris. John Michael Moore. Bart Allen Mueller. David Allen Minch. Wayne Darrell Olson. Ralph Edward Otte. John Robert Paulson. Bruce Allen Peffer. David Martin Reimnitz. Stephen William Remfer. Donald Stephen Roberts. Carl Edwin Robinson in absentia. Robert Francis Rosso. Brian Ross Salmonen. Richard Kevin Schlack. Mark Richard Schultz. Roger Michael Settlemyer. Mark George Stillman. David Earl Strain. Alan Dean Struckmeyer. David Michael Sullivan, Sr. Brian Paul Tolsman. Michael Allen Trask. Calvin Lyle Wetzig. Kenneth Charles Wagoner. Kent Gray Wartick in absentia. William Chancellor Whedon. Donald Arthur Wickelman. Bernard Martin Worrell. William Paul Yonker. William Frederick Zastro.
I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ and in the name of the church of which he is the head, that you give all diligence to perform your manifold duties with untiring faithfulness and constant solicitude, as you will desire to have done when you shall be called to give an account of your stewardship. Be sure to make the Word of God your guide. Search the Scriptures for your instructions. Depend on the grace of God in gospel and sacrament. Make full use of the privilege of prayer, especially in interceding for those who will be committed to your care. Be careful to live as disciples of Christ and thus to be examples that will prompt others to walk in the fear of God. May the Lord direct and assist you by His Holy Spirit. May He counsel and strengthen you in all your undertakings. May He empower you to labor diligently and faithfully for the prosperity of His church in fulfillment of your respective calls. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.
Will the deferred candidates please rise? Reverend President, I present to you the graduates who have elected to continue their studies and for that sake have been granted the status of deferred candidates by the faculty. They are John William Armstrong, William Henry Lehman, Robert Vernon Rothemeyer, Gregory Paul Sels, Richard Paul Shields, and James Gustav Zimmerman.
In our prayers and good wishes, we include also you members of this year's class who are deferring your candidacies and are going on for special studies in order to amplify your training in special ways. May our Heavenly Father grant to you the rich gift of His Spirit so that in the name of Jesus you may keep the sense of your calling clear, advance your studies, and be equipped more richly to serve the Lord Christ by serving His church. Deferred candidates may be seated.
Will any summer candidates who aren't already standing please rise? Reverend President, I present to you 22 members of the class of 1986, all of whom anticipate receiving calls into the pastoral office in July 1986. 10 of the 22 members of the class of 1986 have already completed the requirements for the MDiv degree and have been endorsed and qualified in all respects for the office of the Ministry of Word and Sacrament in the Church. They are Richard Michael Bittinger, Jeffrey J. Corder, Timothy Paul Dreyer, Stephen Albert Eckert, John George Fleischman II, Fred Henry Kramer, Albert Ernest Reinke, Jerry Lee Schmidt, Reed Joel Stockman, and Kevin Dale Vogts. The remaining 12 anticipate receiving their calls after completing their requirements during the summer sessions of 1986. These candidates are Stephen Allen Baldoff, Mark Arthur Katow, John Ford Doctor, Brian Lee Friedrich, Greg Anthony Hine, Jeffrey William Kay, in absentia Vernon Doyle Collinger, Elder Robert Krieger, Larry Jean Krieger, Daniel Christian Mack, Michael Eugene Vogt, and Philip Burton Wolf.
The entire church, we rejoice in your anticipated entrance upon the holy ministry and pray that our Heavenly Father grant you every spiritual blessing as you labor diligently and faithfully in fulfillment of your anticipated call.
Will the colloquy-delayed vicars please rise? Reverend President, I present to you the students in the pastoral colloquy program of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who have completed the resident theological studies in that program at Concordia Seminary. For the completion of the pastoral colloquy program, they now enter vicarages assigned by the Council of Presidents acting as Synod's Board of Assignments to learn the practice of the pastoral office under the supervision of ordained pastors. Upon conclusion of vicarage and endorsement by the colloquy board for the pastoral office, they will enter the ministerium of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod by pastoral calls extended to them through the Board of Assignments.
With the entire church, we rejoice in their progress toward the holy ministry. As these colloquy students come forward, I ask you to deliver to them written recognition of their present status in the name of Concordia Seminary, which will be their alma mater, and from the Synod's colloquy board, which will continue to supervise their deferred vicarage program.
Colloquy deferred vicars, winter quarter 1985. Edward Greenthanner, and Richard Watson. Colloquy deferred vicars, spring quarter 1986, David Fredrickson. Kenneth Keat. Donald McKelvey. John Merrill. Dennis Schmidt.
I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ and in the name of the church of which he is the head that you give all diligence in your vicarage and later in your call to perform your manifold duties with an untiring faithfulness and constant solicitude, as you will desire to have done when you shall be called to give an account of your stewardship. Be sure to make the word of God your guide. Search the scriptures for your instruction. Depend on the grace of God in gospel and sacrament. Make full use of the privilege of prayer, especially in interceding for those whom you will serve. Be careful to live as disciples of Christ and thus to be examples that will prompt others to walk in the fear of God. May the Lord direct and assist you by his Holy Spirit. May he counsel and strengthen you in all your undertakings. May he empower you to labor diligently and faithfully for the prosperity of his church. Teach what befits sound doctrine. Show yourself in all respects a model of good deeds. Always be steady. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry.